Warning, the hosts of this program are not broadcast professionals. They have no idea what they're doing. They are bad at this. One of them uses swear words. A lot. All complaints about this show are correct. You have been warned. This is your last chance to download a real podcast. Okay, you asked for it. Here are Dave Brown and Iron Mike Irons. This is Entitled Town.
All right. Thank you, Al. Thank you, Entitled Town Orchestra. And you are listening, not live, to the Post Raiders pre-Chiefs edition of Entitled Town. We're almost a podcast. Hello, friends. My name is Mike Irons. I'm here with Bell, the Entitled Dog. And joining me for Hot Shots Part 2, he's the Simon to my Garfunkel, the Hall to my Oates, the Dale to my Keefe, Patrick Scartelli. Hello, Mr. Scartelli.
It is good to hear from you again, Mr. Iron Mike Irons. And I feel I should bring it up that the Entitled Town Orchestra sounds especially good tonight. I'm going to have to credit it to the fact that we brought in another trumpet player. I think that caused the trumpet player that we've got to perform better.
That's that trumpet player's name. Ironically, also J.J. Taylor.
Irony can be ironic sometimes.
It can be. It's lighting a fire under somebody's ass season.
That's right. And it's amazing how it works with, small music ensembles and football teams. But bringing in competition apparently doesn't work for sports radio stations.
At all. Yeah, the ratings came out today. I'm no longer in the ratings business, but dear God. You know what's funny is, like, EEI is getting their tail kicked by, you know, every turn, and even their ratings are higher than the Seattle sports radio station, which is, I mean, you want to talk about where amateur hours, like, it's barely a step up from this almost the podcast. But sinkingship.com, you know, get your country jigs ready, everybody.
Well, you got to kind of feel bad for WEEI. I think they were used to having people listen in the morning just because they had the Red Sox game on. They'd get in their cars and, you know, they'd just leave the radio on as they drove into the office, and or perhaps, you know, drove into a bridge abutment kind of thing.
Either or, it's. I talk about a Sophie's choice, Jesus.
Potato, potato, yeah.
Well, and, go ahead.
I just feel that we should, say aloha to Ron Renicky.
Well, they dropped the news right before the kickoff. I mean, Daniel Carlson was putting the ball on a tee, and EEI does – what? Excuse me, EEI. I get EEI and Red Sox conflated. They dropped the news. We're talking about – it's like the new edition of the Friday news dump. Drop your bad Boston Globe / Boston Red Sox news or embarrassing news right before the Patriots take over all the sports eyes in New England.
Oh, that was, full points for, you doing that sort of, you know, scumbag maneuver. But
his blood pressure has to go down. Managing that pitching staff all year, it's almost as if they were tanking the season.
Well, you didn't count on everyone. Didn't count on losing E-Rod there to myocarditis or whatever from the COVID. But the sensation that the guy was just a stopgap, a placeholder, a seat warmer.
That wasn't a contract he got, a contract offer he accepted. It was a severance package ahead of time. That's all it was.
I think you are 100% right on that. But to the good. This was the least amount of losses the Red Sox ever had in the season. So good for them.
Yeah, wasn't that the Globe headline on Monday?
Yeah, I think it was.
You know, it's remarkable. It takes WEEI level incompetence to go from 108 wins in a World Series title to irrelevant and almost loathed within 2 years. It's really staggering incompetence. It's almost impressive.
Well, old friend Steve Buckley said that they're irrelevant right now, but he has ideas. So those of you that are still paying for The Athletic, you've seen it. So I'll leave it at that.
Judging by the clicks, not many are seeing it at all, Cotton. I wanted to start off Listen, I'm a huge Celtics fan. I'm bitterly disappointed in losing to Lakers South, Pat Riley. And Pat Riley doesn't draft busts. He drops flops, as in floppers, the punchable faces of Goran Dragic, et cetera, et cetera. I don't see how getting to game six of the conference finals and also getting to the conference finals for the third time in 4 years, is it disappointing? Yeah, of course, I was disappointed. But judging from the media reaction, you would think that they just finished the season with a winning percentage lower than Mookie Betts on base percentage.
Are you saying that wasn't the case?
At all. Just think about the evolution of this team in 4 years, Scartzy. The Isaiah Thomas team was the first edition, the Stevens edition, that made the Eastern Finals. Completely different team 4 years later, younger, more viable. They're going to improve. The improvement year over year just from Brown and Tatum is remarkable. They're 23 and 22. Did you know that?
I've got shoes older than them.
Fair enough. Sorry to hear that, by the way. But
they're very nice shoes.
It baffles me that people want to – the idiot tells in the Boston media is just like, fire Brad. You know, I've been guilty of the Bruins idiot take because I'm an idiot when it comes to the Bruins regarding Tuukka Rask. But you saw how important Rask was to the whole team with when he opted out of the bubble. It's really remarkable the way that Stevens, for some reason, triggers people.
It's like you say, the Celtics certainly believe that they're entitled, the Celtics fans.
Yeah, that's true. The weird Celtics tweet, I don't know which is worse. This could have been a potential rapid fire question. What's the worst group of fans? Is it the weird Celtics Twitter, or is it the shoe pissers in Patriots Nation?
Well, I'm more familiar with the latter bunch there, so I would go with that if we were doing the rapid fire, and we just might at some point.
At some point, there may be another rapid fire. Well, let's pivot to the second part of the idiot fan equation, the Patriots. 36-20 win over the Raiders on Sunday. Somehow,
but did it feel like a 36-20 win?
Was it a win that felt like a loss or a moral victory? We had the moral victory against Seattle. We had the win. Did it really feel like a victory, Tony, last week? Now, the score was 36-20. I mean, somehow the Raiders stayed in that game longer than Greg Bedard stayed at the Las Vegas Review-Journal. But be that as it may, 36-20. Thoughts, comments, opinions.
Well, in 10 years' time, we've gone from they have no tight ends, Mike, to they've got too many running backs now, Mike.
He's a hoarder. Bill's a hoarder.
Exactly. Yeah. These are good problems to have.
When Bill the GM commits a manslaughter or second degree murder on Bill the coach, do you think it's with intent? Should be murder one? What is it?
Oh boy, I'd have to, have to review, whether it, whether the bad decision occurred in Rhode Island or, across the border into Massachusetts, whether he did it at a flop house. It's so many questions. It's a no comment.
All right. No comments. Fair enough. I the difference is stark, and I've mentioned this previously with Dave, the league as a whole is going to, Mahomes, it's a passing league, right? The defense is nickel packages, multiple defensive backs on the field at the same time has become the new norm. And just like, Bill taking advantage of the rules, ha, ha, ha. When the Colts had the rules changed in the mid 2000s, he adjusted to the change in the rules by loading up, getting Welker and Moss. And they had the greatest offense to that time in NFL history. And now with defenses getting lighter, as I just mentioned, they're going to a power run game, and they have a 245-pound quarterback who is essentially a fullback who's also, by the way, completing almost 70% of his passes through 3 weeks.
But is that sustainable?
Yeah, that was last week's buzz phrase that pays sustainable. So they ran for – let me pull up the numbers here. They ran for 250 yards on Sunday, 6.5 yards a carry against the Raiders. But if you were on social media early in the game, the first quarter, early in the second quarter of that game, the shoe pissing and the moaning about what was going on to the Patriots and the three and outs and the defense can't stop anybody. The Raiders just zoomed out to an insurmountable 3-0 lead. Is this the best comeback since Super Bowl 51?
Well, obviously. I'm going to admit it. I'm happy the home team won.
Yeah, it's a
bold take. I'm a homer. I like it.
You like it when the teams win. Our buddy Bryce says that all the time, right?
and he should.
He's
nice.
He's right.
It's nice when the home team wins.
Yeah, well, it was nice to see such a rousing comeback and them show such mental toughness. I tell you the one thing that triggered me. I was doing the goddamn Clave and Shake when Rich Keefe tweeted 2 minutes into the second quarter, J.J. Taylor greater than Sony Michel. Let me read Sony Michel's final stats for the game. 9 carries, 117 yards, a long of 48, another of 29, and gasp, 2 receptions for 23 yards, which is something that I harped on last week. I mean, is there anybody non-Volan Bedard division dumber than Rich Teeth?
Oh.
Well, maybe the person that hired him, but besides that.
Besides that, I can't see how. And I don't know how he managed to run for that many yards without breaking a tackle. I heard he can't break tackles.
Can't break tackles, doesn't have speed. Other than that, he's the ideal back and probably an all-pro.
Well, what I like is the idea that for, you know, X number of games, he was just biding his time, hitting the hole, and if he gets through, that's nice. But otherwise, he was just going to cash his paycheck.
Yeah,
I believe there is a check cashing store now in Patriots Place.
Yeah, it's the old it's the old TB12 store, I think.
That's right. Well, that bad element with the chain snatchers, that fancy boy Felger with his napkins thinks that Cam is bringing to the team.
Those are warming napkins. That's the essential equipment.
Mm-hmm. He's bringing hilarious nicknames. People like this.
Well, I'm not one to throw stones with nicknames. They're sleepy Scartsy. the thing that bothers me about what's overlooked, and it's easily overlooked about Michelle, especially if you don't pay attention, the dude is nails in picking up blitzes. He absolutely de-cleated a guy, a Raider.
That was unbelievable. Great to watch.
Unbelievable. And his ball security is unparalleled. And I'm going to knock on wood as I say that. His ball security is top notch. I'm not going to piss on your head and tell you it's raining and try to convince you that he's, you know, Emmitt Smith or Barry Sanders, but he's a very, very good running back. And he was obviously a huge part of the team that won Super Bowl 53.
Not Nick Chubb caller.
At all. We saw Nick Chubb turn the ball over a couple of times in the game at Foxborough last year. So that's Rich Keefe thing. Rich Keefe, of course, is one of the first mates on sinkingship.com. But the EEI had a very, very strange ethos this week, over the last 2 weeks, regarding Stephon Gilmore.
He's like a defensive player of the year, was he last year?
Yeah, he was pretty good. He was pretty good last year. Just, I don't understand. It goes back, and I hate to shit on Greg Bedard again. No, that's actually
was a lie. But, I detect a lie there.
Only lies there. Bedard, a couple of years, the first year Gilmore was a Patriot, he tweeted out a tweet storm saying that Gilmore wasn't aggressive enough, and that he mumbled when he was in press conferences because, God forbid, he make the jobs of the Knights of the Keyboard that much harder. Harder, in quotation fingers, Dr. Evil style. It Christian Faria going after him, too. It might have been Don Yee, I'm not sure, but the entire ethos is just, it seems like they're flailing, like a child looking for attention, any attention, negative attention, clicks, storylines, whatever it is. It's insulting, and it's insulting to the fans, and even the big fans aren't paying attention to them at all.
I think you're right. I think that WEI was a little upset that after the Seattle game, people weren't lining up at the Tobin.
Well, people that weren't executives at Intercom anyway.
They could go there. They could go to the big bridge between New Hampshire and Maine. They got options.
They do have options. You were pretty fired up on Twitter. It fired up as kind of a generic term, but a burr in your saddle regarding all the tweet storms announcing the death of James White's dad in his mother's terrible injury. Pretty despicable. Unfortunately, predictably despicable.
You could set your watch to it, yeah.
Yeah, it's distasteful at best. I got Snoopied on Monday with the impersonator, somebody impersonating Ben Volen, saying that White has used up all his PTO and because the bereavement was only 1 week. It's just Volen enough, and it was absolutely perfect. So I got to give a tip of the old hat to Snoopy. I got snooped. I did get snooped.
Oh, everyone gets snooped. Don't feel bad about that. And Volen is his
muse.
That's his Stradivarius, is what it comes down to. The way he writes like Volen writes when he's doing him.
That might be the meanest thing you've ever said about Snoopy. He writes like Volen.
He writes like Volen when he's impersonating Volen. He's
got character. In character is the phrase that pays there.
That's right. That's the way to be. That's the way to be. So big ups, as they say, to Snoopy. Glad that Snoopy's back.
That's true. That's true. What storylines were busted week three?
Oh, let's see. It's not so much a storyline as much as the fact that 20 years and people haven't learned anything with regard to how the Patriots bring in rookies and second-year folks.
Absolutely.
I mean, look at Winovich helping basically, put the game out of reach for the Raiders with the strip sack.
Yeah, he's been terrific. He's easing in. I mean, you mentioned it yourself. There's a 20-year track record of this stuff going on. I would even argue starting with just 2 years in the program, go back to the year 2000, they were 5-11. We all know what happened the next year. That's 2 years in the system for a lot of those guys, the McGinnists and the Brewskis, et cetera, et cetera. Tom Brady's the greatest second-year example ever, right?
I would have to say yes to that.
I mean, it's in Brady, and even a year later, when Tom Brady, the system quarterback in 2001, he led the league in the NFL in touchdown passes in 2002 with 28, which probably wouldn't crack the top five now. I mean, it's like you said, Scarzi, 20 years. Asante Samuel, David Givens, Seymour, Vereen, and James White spent a year, kind of a year in training as Damian Harris has.
The cycle continues, and granted, I'm going to, extend an olive branch because there's definitely got to be people who are first-time fans here. Just the fact that you got to start being a fan sometime. But for the folks who've been watching for a while, what's going on with that?
How are you watching this
and not seeing it?
What's the old phrase, Scarzi? There are none so blind of those who will not see.
Yes. I think that fits in this situation.
It goes back to one of my thing that puts a burr in my saddle is when they're bigger fans of the talking radio people and the media personalities than they are of the actual teams they purport to be fans of.
Some people are, it's like a Plato's cave kind of situation there.
So erudite. Half of this crap goes over my head, Scarzi. Jesus.
I could be making it up, so we'll deal with this, later down the road, maybe.
Well, if you are making it up, NBC Sports Boston will have a role for you, a promotion. Kansas City week. I didn't mean to step on you there. We got Kansas City. We're on to Kansas City.
On to Kansas City. We're on to Kansas City, going to Kansas City, and I think there are going to be fans there. So that'll be different.
It's kind of bizarre watching games. You get so used to the bubble environment and that sort of thing. I was actually caught off guard the first times I was watching college football a couple of weeks ago when they have students and fans in the stands. It's jarring.
It is. We got used to one thing, then got used to something entirely different.
Yeah, it's a yo-yo. Let's hope that the norm becomes people being able to go back in to see sporting events, other things safely, first and foremost.
It is, and there was, speaking of Twitter, which we've been known to do, there was a picture going around of some, you know, sausage stand at Gillette Stadium with little transporter pad, stand right here things 6 feet apart, sort of indicating that maybe they'll be bringing fans in sometime before the end of the year. That'd be nice.
Let's hope so. I also thought for a moment when you mentioned sausage stand that you're going to work blue there for a minute, and that's been my role on this podcast.
Oh, exactly. I just want to fill in for Dave the way that Joe Tooney did for Andrus.
Oh, that's a nice callback to the Raider game. They were great. The running game was great.
Newton
wasn't great, but the running game was good, and the defense was just very, very solid.
Games you win where, you know, you're not playing at 100% your best, that's always nice to have happen.
Yeah, and he's going to have to be at his best on Sunday in Kansas City. That's obviously, spoiler, the world champions are still a good football team. But they can be exploited. I mean, Mahomes is fantastic. He's, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in football. This is not breaking news. Anyone who's listening to this is going to have the same amount or more insight than I have. So it should be a good game between two good teams. All the games they've played, going back even to when Alex Smith is quarterback recently, have been very, very competitive.
Oh, they have been. Andy Reid is a good coach. Numbers don't lie as to that.
I think it's imperative.
He's a funny
right?
walrus man, but that's just genetics.
Yeah, I didn't know with his sideline attire. I didn't know if he was going to give me a filling or if he was actually going to call a play. At least he doesn't have that. He's got the what does Mike Lombardi call it? He's got the Olive Garden menu in front of him. At least he doesn't have like Matt Nagy, the Bears coach, the inspirational saying on his play sheet of "Be you."
It takes all kinds. It takes all kinds. And just between you, me, and you know our literal tens of listeners. I think this Mahomes kid is legit.
You know what? This is not a bold take segment. This is try to tamp it down a little bit. Jesus, will you, Patrick?
I had convinced myself he was some sort of combination of Roethlisberger and Tommy Maddox. I think, or maybe a combination of Tommy Maddox and Cordell Stewart.
Just Cordell, sort of, no worm is safe Stewart when he's playing the Patriots. He threw one hoppers like absolutely nobody else.
Oh, yeah, but credit where credit's due.
Yeah, Mahomes is a terrific player, and it's going to take their best game on both sides of the ball to beat them. Chiefs have a pretty underrated running game as well. They've got the rookie from LSU, Edwards-Helaire, and they, as is always the case with Andy Reid teams, they have good talent. They have weapons at the skill positions.
And I think I'd like to believe that the secondary is up to the challenge.
Well, that's the strength of the Patriots team. I don't think there's any doubt that the secondary is among, if not, they're among the best in football. I'll be curious to see how Reed attacks the Patriots and vice versa. The Patriots have to be very, very tough to defend just by limited tape, or for me, YouTube. Not that I'm studying film. I'll leave that to the Ben Volans and Andy Harts of the world. But it's going to be an entertaining afternoon. I'm pretty confident about that on Sunday.
It should be interesting if they can contain Kelce the way they did Waller.
Yeah, two catches for that's a great point. Two catches for 9 yards for Waller. He looks the part, doesn't he? He just looks like he's going to be just, I mean, he's obviously had a great year last year, but he just looks the part.
Very much so, very much so.
Hunter Renfro looks the part of a Patriot wide receiver, though, doesn't he, in the classic slot receiver, non-Troy Brown division?
Oh, get out of my head. You're stealing my thoughts here.
Oh, that's a scary thought. And right, so Patriots Chiefs will be Sunday at 4:25 Eastern, 1:25 on the Best Coast. I am, like I said, I'm pumped for that game. Two good football teams. It should be good.
It's going to be entertaining, and just like it was entertaining watching Coach Harbaugh get pantsed on national TV.
Oh, that was beautiful, wasn't it?
If the Chiefs had to win, I'm glad it was at the expense of the Crab Cake Men, to give them a name that no one has ever used or ever will, except for Peter King.
Oh God, yeah, that's Peter King. Peter King, I could do an hour on Bedard. I could do 45 minutes on Peter King, but I don't want to subject anyone to my psychosis on the worst of the worst of the worst. Just the Bedard part.
You're a giver.
I am. I give and I give. Would you like to give me some rapid fire questions? Do you want to lead off?
I can lead off with the rapid fire. People seem to enjoy this. I enjoy it. So hang on. I've got somewhere around. There it is. I've got the stopwatch, and I will put 1 minute on the imaginary stopwatch.
I have two timeouts remaining, however.
You have two timeouts. Okay. All right. So rapid fire. Here we go. Pastrami or corned beef?
Corned beef.
Okay. Jeep or Fiat?
They're the same. That's a trick question. Right.
All right. Let's see. Market Basket or Big Y Supermarket?
Market Basket every day, twice on Sunday. I love sawdust. A little bit of sawdust on my shopping cart.
It's very homey, I think.
It's an experience.
It is. All right. Dino Raja or Stojko Vrankovic?
The human victory cigar, Stojko Vrankovic.
Everyone's favorite Croat.
I have a list. And he is at the top.
Definitely top 30 or 40.
Right, absolutely.
All right.
Raja's a Hall of Famer. Do you know that?
Yes, I think it's for his international play, I believe.
Yeah, I took a human victory cigar over a pro basketball Hall of Famer, or a basketball Hall of Famer.
There are no wrong answers here.
Bold move, Cotton.
And the final question. Drew Bledsoe or Tony Eason?
Tony Eason, absolutely. There's no question about that. Absolutely none. And it's the statistics. There are lies, there are damn lies, and then there are statistics. Look up Tony Eason's postseason numbers. Compare them to Drew Bozo's sub 50% postseason passing. This is another subject that I have some opinions
on. You could do a tight 95 minutes on.
It'd be extremely tight. It'd be tighter than Sophie Marceau, whatever, fill in the blank there. So,
Hey now.
All right, so are you ready for your rapid fire?
I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
All right. I need to ask you to take a stand and don't show no mercy. What's the overrun? What's over first, the Loico Gate investigation or the Jets Super Bowl drought?
Oh, the Jets will eventually just, it's like, a million monkeys on a million typewriters. But if no one's actually investigating the Loico investigation, it's never going to be over.
Wait, are you? That's a bombshell. This may have to be an outside the line special. All right, for you, Scartzy, over or under 30 seconds of watching the NBA Finals?
Way under.
All right, I'd bet that with both hands. What is the biggest idiot tell that you're anti-Stephon Gilmore, anti-Marcus Smart, or, raises hands in shame, anti-Tuukka Rask?
Well, let's see. If we look at this, there's at least a couple of reasons to be anti-Tuukka. And I think I remember Gilmore let up a touchdown, so that would be that. So I'm going to have to go with being anti-Marcus Smart.
That's a bold call. And I want to point out that we do not give each other rapid fires ahead of time. So in the same vein as your Tony Eason, Drew Bledsoe question. Who's the better Patriot coach, Raymond Berry or Bill Parcells?
what's that Deathless saying? You are what your record says you are.
That's right.
I gotta go with Ray. He got them to that Super Bowl where they were the sacrificial lamb to the Bears.
Oh yeah,
that was a fun first 3 points.
I remember that my father told me I was a young lad that season. That's the season that made me a Patriot fan for life. And I remember my father telling me, it doesn't matter anyway. They won the Super Bowl last week in Miami. I was upset, going up back, dribbling a basketball or whatever it was I was doing. But they did win their Super Bowl against Miami, and that was a great, great day.
Oh, there's no two ways about that. That was great. And it, led to a great T-shirt.
Squish the Fish T-shirt. There's got to be one somewhere in a storage unit for me back in Eastern Massachusetts.
Yeah, maybe with some Celtics painters caps.
Almost certainly. You can only have one slot receiver. Welker, Edelman, or Troy Brown. Didn't say it would be easy.
No, you did not say it would be easy. I'm being advised by my old friend, recency bias. So I'm going with Edelman.
Another one where you can't go wrong.
No. There's a lot of big catches in that trio there.
Absolutely. 2014 season question. What was the better game, the divisional round against Baltimore or the Super Bowl 49 against the Seahawks?
Oh, they're both different monsters. But the and of course the fact that they recovered from what looked like another, absurd circus catch to win against the Seahawks. But I'll go with the divisional game.
Yeah, the divisional game was, I wasn't there, but mutual friends of ours who were at that game claimed that was the loudest Gillette's ever been by a long shot.
That makes 100% sense.
It does. What win was more surprising? The 2006 divisional classic against the Chargers at the old Jack Murphy Stadium or the 2018 AFC title game against Kansas City?
I'm going to go against the Chargers there.
Yeah, that Charger game. I pitched to Dave a while ago to do even before the pandemic, now that I think about it. So maybe I was ahead of my time of doing a throwback podcast where we break down the forgotten games in the history of the Patriots, and that one would be at the top of the list. That was an absolute, absolute thriller.
That was an absolute thriller. That'd be a top five, quote-unquote forgotten game.
Right. The 3rd and 10 long pass down the right sideline to Rashay Caldwell that set, rest in peace, Rashay, that set up the Gostkowski field goal in his rookie year to win that game. And the Nate Kading field goal falling short at the end. LaDainian Tomlinson getting his underwear in a bunch over the Patriots doing the lights out celebration. I mean, just so many good layers.
You don't do another man's dance.
You don't do another man's dance. All right, so I'm going to go a little bit quicker pace now. Nance and Romo or Buck and Aikman?
Buck and Aikman. Oh. Nance isn't my friend.
Goodbye, friend. The Godfather or Godfather 2?
One.
Again, you can't go wrong. You can only have one Cheers edition. Diane Chambers or Rebecca Howe?
Oh, Rebecca Howe.
Can't go wrong. Office edition. Pam Beasley or Karen Filippelli?
Karen.
Correct. Ricky Gervais is David Brent or Steve Carell is Michael Scott?
Well, let's see. Michael Scott. The Steve Carell Michael Scott originally was just him, doing a not particularly good version of Gervais, but he settled into the role, and I'm going to be patriotic and go with the American version. So Steve Carell.
All right, there you go. The theme to Cheers or the theme to the Golden Girls?
The theme to the Golden Girls was played at one of the places where I worked. I never played the Cheers song, so I'm going to go with the Cheers song.
All right. Seinfeld or Cheers?
I got to go with Seinfeld. It's just had just way more cultural touchstones.
That's fair. What's more cringe-inducing? Steak takes from the tasteless or oddly uncomfortable ketchup debates?
Well, steak takes are sensible, but ketchup, you know, Hunt's versus Heinz, get out of here with that. So yeah, I'm going to go with the ketchups.
Yeah, the ketchup takes. It's the old line from Saturday Night Live, I believe it was, push, there are no, no, sports and a push, there are no winners here. Finally, what's the more obnoxious nickname for Fenway Park? The trademarked America's Most Beloved Ballpark or the execrable lyrical little bandbox?
The lyrical little bandbox one, that was by, you know, an actual author kind of thing.
Was that Updike?
I think that's Updike. So the one that they, the self-gloss, as I believe Jim Rome would call it, you can't do that to yourself. You can't even say it's America's Most Beloved Ballpark just because you say it. So that's right out of here.
It's America's Most Beloved Ballpark, trademark. Well, that wraps up my portion. So we've done rapid fire. And then, as David Faraday always says, both of us win nothing.
But we're both winners nonetheless.
Allegedly. Well, Scartsy, to quote Dave Brown, I think we've done a podcast, almost a podcast. What do you think?
Well, let's see. I we've done pretty much. So do you want to... did you want to get into the, no, we did that, crossing it off the list. Like,
you can actually hear our gears grinding as we're going through the checkpoints that we had.
Oh yeah.
Al's right. We're bad at this.
We're bad at this, but we're going to get better.
We're going to improve. Hopefully the year two improvement will happen in the podcast realm as well. Not just on the gridiron.
We'll make the leap.
Actually, we will make the leap. So I want to remind everybody, you can send us an email at entitledtown@gmail.com. The Twitter account is @entitledtown. I spoke briefly with Dave. Dave's doing well, busier than a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest professionally, but Dave is doing well. And we certainly have Scartsy is ably filling in the meantime. So Dave, Wally Pip, look it up. All right, so I gave the email account. I gave the Twitter account. Patrick Scartelli, bjbsjournal.com, purveyor of the Death Drawer. Today's Death Drawer, by the way, one of the all-timers, one of the absolute all-timers. Go to bjbsjournal.com and read it, and try not to spray some. I almost spit out coffee. I wasn't doing a spit cake. That was really, really good stuff.
Danny Thomas, one of the greats.
One of the greats, baby. All right, so that's it for this week's Entitled Town. We are on to Kansas City. And just as a reminder, turn off your radio.